Welcome to Audio Articles. My name is Chris, and I am the editor of articles at Crossroads Church. I get to lead a team of writers who create original articles designed to help, encourage, and push our readers' lives forward. We take our favorite ones and we turn them into audio versions, you know, for the people who hate to read. I get it. Me too, sometimes. Today, I will be taking to the mic to read my own article titled "The Lie and Hope Behind the Social Media Like." It's wild to think it's only been this century that social media has been around, as its presence is felt every day, or hour, by most of us. Its promise has almost always been connection, but in pursuit of that, have we accepted a lie that's actually been working against our good? In my article, I'm breaking down the lie that the social media like button told me, and how I found freedom from it. Let's go. The Lie and Hope Behind the Social Media Like, by Chris Pennington. February of 2009 was a month that changed the course of human history, where one event led to a lie planted in my heart that ruled me for years. I eventually found hope and freedom, but it started with recognizing the game I was unknowingly playing. Also, yes, that year the Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl over an aging Kurt Warner and his Arizona Cardinals. Heath Ledger won Best Supporting Actor for his portrayal as the Joker in The Dark Knight, and Kelly Clarkson's My Life Would Suck Without You was at the top of every chart. All worth noting, but none of them are the event I'm referring to. I'm talking about the introduction of Facebook's like button, what I believe would incite a cataclysmic tidal wave in social culture that still makes ripples today, connecting the planet in a way never seen before, yet all the while laying the foundation for our insecurities to be meddled with. Before the like button inception, one would see social media updates such as "just mowed the lawn," "Twilight was overrated," or "I miss spicy nuggets," which did help Wendy's bring them back, to be fair. But instead of countless thumbs up icons spilling affirmation onto said posts, what would soon transpire was a scraggly mess of comments ranging from "awesome" to "agreed" to "I miss when the double stack was 99 cents. Me too, Uncle Mike. Me too." From February of 2009 and beyond, though, Uncle Mike can now summarize his inflation-affected fast food displeasure in a simple and time-efficient manner, merely liking the post. So commenced an era of social media that felt more like competition than it did connection, and where a lie started to take roots in our culture. The feeling of the likes tallying up was irresistible, and to me, the game was simple. Figure out what others tended to like, construct posts in a matching fashion, and ingest the sweet endorphin of that red, or orange, heart symbol that told me, well, I was liked. I paid attention to what did well on my feed, what time of day or day of the week a post would get the most eyeballs, and how long after something was posted I could delete it if I didn't receive the amount of likes I was hoping for, without too many people noticing. Okay, I know I'm not the only one. After a while, though, I remember getting to a low self-esteem space regarding social media. I can't recall if it was a few average performing Instagram posts in a row, or if I was feeling especially introspective, but I had begun to feel consistently judgmental about other friends' updates I'd see on my feed. I'd also become increasingly stressed if I wasn't getting enough attention on a post that I thought I deserved, and was up to an embarrassingly high amount of screen time on all my apps. My phone may have overheated once. The lie behind the like. My notification-chasing overload eventually transpired into a moment of sobriety. I realized that beneath all the highs and lows I was feeling in regards to my platforms, there was a lie that I had bought into, which was, to be consistently liked and affirmed by others was the path to a full life. For me, that path's name was Instagram, X, then Twitter, Facebook, and BeReal. I also tried to become Vine famous for 1 week in 2012, but that's all you'll hear about that. What better way to be liked than to see others literally like what I'm doing? The dopamine hit felt good, and I wanted more. To be clear, the lie was not that being liked or affirmed was a bad thing, or that even desiring to be was wrong. After all, God did say it was not good for us to be alone, and the Bible does say that gracious words are sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. But for me, the method to fulfill those desires that was becoming cheapened by every day, or like, that passed. I loved the highs of the praise I received by counting the likes, but I was also getting more anxious and saddened when those likes were, by my standards, low. If it had been too long since I made a post, I found myself seeking opportunities to do something in my life that was post-worthy, or like-worthy, rather, than doing something I would actually want to do. The more I was drawn to the likes themselves, the more I needed them. It was a machine I had to keep paying consistently to feel stabilized. The growing reality that I could only feel good with social media, and sometimes myself, when I was simultaneously feeding my accounts, was driving me up a wall. I couldn't enjoy my friends' posts or post for fun anymore, and when I was doing something fun in life, I was often thinking about how I could post about it later. In short, I'd committed to the game and was paying the toll. While this all may feel like a dramatized reflection, I am an Enneagram 4 after all, it may not be untrue for many of us. Studies show that getting fewer likes than others on social media can negatively impact one's health amongst adolescents. But I hadn't noticed this issue for years, especially when it was such a normal thing amongst friends and culture. It felt a bit weird and lonely if I wasn't active on social media, keeping up with who was getting engaged and who just got a new job, or letting others know if those were happening in my life. It felt a bit weird and lonely if I wasn't active on social media, keeping up with who was getting engaged and who just got a new job, or letting others know if those things were happening in my life. I'd become convinced that the anxiety around all of it was a part of the sacrifice I had to make if I truly wanted to enjoy social media. The likes of Gandalf, and even more so Gollum, knew full well the draw of earthly praise and recognition, as told by J.R.R. Tolkien in The Lord of the Rings. "What do you mean?" said Frodo. "Surely the ring was Gollum's precious and the only thing he cared for. But if he hated it, why didn't he get rid of it, or go away and leave it?" "You ought to begin to understand, Frodo. After all you have heard," said Gandalf, "he hated it, and loved it, as he hated and loved himself. He could not get rid of it. He had no will left in the matter." The lie had become as visible as ever for me. I was tired and ready to find a way out. I didn't think throwing my phone in the ocean would solve the problem, because soon after, I'd likely find some other vice to receive my bountiful likes through. It likely would have been milk chugging. I was soon struck by the character of Jesus and how he pursued the idea of being liked in his days on earth. Though he was God in the flesh with every right to seek his own glory, he constantly ran from the praise of crowds, made choices that received criticism from his friends, and was silent when strangers falsely spoke about him in public. Matthew 20:28 says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." How could Jesus act in such confidence? How could he be so comfortable to deny worldly affection? Perhaps we can attribute it to the uttermost confidence he had in being loved by God the Father, and the freedom it gave him to forsake the worries, cares, and reputation of his own life. Jesus says in John 15:9, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." Scripture tells us of a man in Jesus who clearly desired connection with people, coming down to earth as God to love his people, but had no stress or worries about being liked. With every reason to receive affirmation, Jesus instead chose to lift up and serve others, and had more life and contentment than anyone in history. By pursuing such praise through likes in such an innocent but competitive way, I knew that deep down, I was serving myself, and that path was exhausting. The hope behind the like. To combat the lies I saw in my mind and actions, I started taking a hiatus from different platforms, sometimes days, weeks, and months at a time. By doing so, and feeling the newly lacking affirmation with the way Jesus feels towards me, I began to find peace that I honestly thought was impossible. It wasn't an overnight change. For quite some time, I found myself re-downloading apps with 1,000 reasons at hand as to why it was so silly of me to take a break in the first place. But over time, I saw the grips of the lies loosen. I didn't need the guy in my 8th grade history class to know that I went to a Monday night football game or climbed a volcano. He probably didn't want to know either. If I became afraid of missing out on different friends' updates in life or wanted to share my own news, I started calling, texting, or seeing them more. And if I wasn't close enough with someone to take the step to reach out to them personally, then I probably wasn't close enough to them in the first place to have them want to constantly see my life updates on their feed. Presently, I have a bare-bones Facebook account that I use to find bed-bug-free couches on Marketplace, and a burner Twitter/X account where I follow sports and memes. Overall, the anxiety and stress in the social media world have vanished for me. The momentary thrill of receiving likes has vanished also, but for what I believe to be a worthy cause. But this is just my story. I know some friends who are entirely absent from all social media apps, and those who post round-the-clock life updates. And both sides are doing all right in their own respects, I think. We all have specific temptations that nag at us, and I believe it's up to us to how seriously we want to take them and how badly we want God to help us find freedom in them. We all have specific temptations that get at us, and I believe it's up to us of how seriously we want to take them and how badly we want God to help us find freedom in them. Unlike the one ring to rule them all, though, I don't think social media is evil in and of itself. Getting to promote work I've done or connect with a friend from a different country would be a bit more difficult if not for it. But if all brands unanimously decided to remove the like button from their platforms, how much less active would we all be on social media? The lie that governed me for years was that I needed a constant thumbs up from those around me to feel satisfied and content. And the hope I was led to, by God, was that my worth in Him was the only affirmation my soul truly needed. Mark Zuckerberg, eat your heart out. If you like this article, find lots more at crossroads.net/articles. We have hundreds of articles covering topics like parenting, football, dating, sex, current events, work, angels and demons, everything you could possibly think of, and so much more. Love it, hate it, or have an idea for an article, I would love to hear from you. Shoot me an email at articles@crossroads.net. Come back here regularly and make sure to subscribe so you know when the next episode drops. Give us a rating and review. It really helps introduce other people to the show. We will see you next time.